Welcome to the Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast, where we discuss dynasty strategy, rankings, and all things NFL. So get ready to geek out on fantasy football with your host, Rich Dotson.
And welcome to Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast. I am your host, Rich Dotson, here with my fellow nerd, Matt O'Hara.
That's me.
Hey.
Hey.
So here we are.
Hey.
Early of 2017. Super. And we're going to take our first episode and jump into what's many episodes to come. The rookies.
Oh, nice.
The rookies. We're going to call this show the way too early mock draft. And let me say that with why it's the way too early mock draft and why this will change. Most likely going to change. Maybe not drastically, but it's for sure going to change. Where right now, I couldn't even get through all the tape of the guys I want to take here in the first round. A lot of these guys I haven't even watched in depth. It's a mild depth. You know, I'm like ankle deep in water in some of these guys. If I fell over, I would not drown.
That's good. Well, you can drown in like a teaspoon of water.
I would not drown.
Okay.
I am 10% Aquaman.
Oh, wow.
Just to let you know.
Okay.
I do have a pool, so I could take care of myself in some water.
You have got a pool. Maybe you shouldn't be jinxing yourself.
Next year. Not so famous podcaster, Rich Dotson.
You are the guy that just almost chopped your thumb off.
I did. My bandage is smaller. See
it
this?
Does. It's much smaller.
It looks, it hurts a little bit less.
Yeah. I mean, it still looks like one of those old time cartoons when somebody hits your thumb with a hammer and it just like blew way up.
Yeah. It's,
but it's way smaller than it was last
time. I couldn't take those pain pills, man, either. I'm not like a big like pill kind of guy. And like, I was taking these, like, even like these ibuprofens and like hurt my stomach really bad. Jacked me up.
I'm with you. I don't take my pain meds when I get them. I got my appendix removed and was out of the hospital the next day by noon and took zero of my pain meds. I just don't like them, man.
Yeah, there's a couple I had to take like at night because I was waking up at night in pain, like because my thumb hit my thumb or slept down or something. So like I'd like take it either right before I went to bed or like I'd wake up at like 4 a.m. take one and go back to bed.
Well, fingers are weird too, man. Like if they hurt, they'll like you can feel a pulse in them. You know,
yeah.
Like, you
don't, like that's a problem. It's my thumb, so it's just throbbing the whole time. Right. It's like boom, boom, boom. Right. I'm like I'm gonna die. But nobody wants to talk about my life.
No, let's move on.
Situations.
Right. Yeah.
So getting back into the rookies here, I think the biggest topic here I want to talk about is going to be obviously the top four. One thing I know for sure is the 17 class that we've been hyping for a long time is very deep, right? But there's a lot of question marks at this point right now of a lot of these guys. Because after the top four, it's pretty much a crapshoot. Like nobody's going to say, oh, I can't believe you took this guy at 5 or you took this guy at 8 and you didn't take this guy who would have went at 2-5. I mean, I just did a mock draft on Twitter with a lot of our writers and some of the UTH people and, you know, people from other Dynasty sites. And, you know, I took Isaiah Ford at 2-1, and I took Fournette at 1. And obviously, we're going to see that's a little bit different here today where we're at right now. So it's going to change drastically. I think the combine is going to be a lot. Like, there's a couple guys I want to see their 40 times on. And definitely with the running backs, which is the deepest part of this part of this class. The receivers, not so much. The tight ends, so much.
Yeah, there's some good prospects.
There's really good tight ends this class. I mean, Nyoku, OJ Howard, Ingram. This is a really, you know, Leggett. This is a really good tight end class, and there's going to be some really good value there. And I think I see them rising the most in this class, where some might find a way into the first round, and some are going to be in the second round. Because even that mock draft we saw run in the third round, like I got Nyoku at the first pick in the third round, and there's no way he's going to be there come draft day. This guy might potentially go in the first round of the NFL draft. If not, he's going to go very high in the second round of the NFL draft.
Right.
That being said, speaking of the Miami Hurricane, we might just have a special guest next week.
Ooh.
Might go by the name of Mike.
We'll see. We're trying. We're efforting that.
We are efforting very strongly. Everybody wants to hear Mike's take on the rookies because he's such a guru savant. We are working diligently to get him back on the show for a special.
Right on.
If you don't know who Mike is because you just started listening to last year, he's a Dynasty Nerds podcast founder and was here for 2 years. Then he left because he had a kid.
It happens,
stupid
man.
Stupid kids. And if you don't like guys that we have here, obviously the biggest thing is going to come down to the final mock draft that we do. and the final rankings we have. Because what we're going to do now is a mock draft. Then we're going to do a rookie extravaganza and just talk about the rookie class in a whole, the strong points, the weak points, maybe some, you know, some good gems that we like now. And these are all notes that you want to listen to from start to finish. Why are these guys in the first round today? Why? Who are the sleepers that these guys like next week? And then see where they're at the end of the process. Again, I mean, we use this example perfectly, and we have another guy like this with Isaiah Correll, who was ranked so high before and then slipped when he went undrafted. Joe Mixon's going to fall in this category. Where does Joe Mixon go in this draft? This is a guy that got a first-round grade from the NFL Advisory Board, who's definitely not going in the first round.
No, definitely.
If this was Mike Tyson's punch-out, he'd be a first-round pick, but it's not, unfortunately. And that grade solely comes off of film, not, you know, sucker-puncher people.
Right. Well, yeah, it goes off his ability, not really where we think he's going to be drafted or because he's going to get drafted later than his ability would say.
And the big thing is just, you know, make sure you get out there and look at your own tape, too. Get your own opinions as well. Remember, we're just here not to be, you know, end all be all stone rankings. Like, we're here to help you along the process. I promise you, by the time you get through all our podcast episodes, you will know every single rookie. And you will know something about them to make a rational decision come your draft day. And come draft day, the more information you have, it's like the more ammo you have in your gun. And it's in the late round picks where you get your good value. And, you know, again, we don't toot our own horn much. But you could say this, and I can say this with confidence, because everything we do is recorded. It's right on podcasts. When we go through this, by the time we're done, our hit rate has been pretty high on these rookies. When everybody else is taking Derrick Henry and definitely Will Fuller just last year saying, hey, why aren't you taking these guys? And we're like, this is why we're not taking these guys. I still feel pretty confident in those statements. And we were one, again, I can't say enough. We kept saying, take Hunter Henry in the first round.
Right.
You got to do it. Even said in the first round, everybody else disagreed with us. Now Hunter Henry is for certain would have went in the first round.
Right.
Definitely. And we missed some too, but you know, hey, we don't want to talk about those.
Everybody misses one.
So let's get into this, right? Sure. Oh, wait, there's some news, a little bit of news before we get into rookies. One little news and notes is Martavis Bryant applied for reinstatement.
Right. It's not a guarantee, and I think it's kind of one of those things where he's getting ahead of the ball type of thing.
Yeah.
And
everything looks good from what I've been reading on him so far, like what he's been doing, working out-wise, and just getting his life together. And I will say this, if I could flip one of these mid to late first round picks, these 17 first round picks, as of today. Now, again, after the combine, the draft, it's going to change a little bit. I would flip one of those easily for Martavis Bryant.
I mean, his talent is undeniable. It's just a matter of whether or not he's going to straighten out his life to be on the field.
Where do you go to school at?
Clemson.
Damn, they put out some good receivers.
They sure do, man.
And I will say this, too, as we get into this rookie mock draft as well. I think I mentioned earlier about the deepness of the running backs in this class.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of running backs,
yeah.
A lot of talent that I haven't even gotten to the tape on. So again, that's probably gonna be the biggest shift in and move for me, is the running backs. Landing spot.
Right on. Yeah.
So
that's a big time. I did want to mention before we got onto the other stuff too, that the, East-West Shrine Game practices are going on pretty much as we speak right now.
Yep.
A couple of guys already kind of, you know, popping a little bit. Elijah McGuire has been having some good practices, and he's a running back from Louisiana Lafayette, and then Eric Schubert, a tight end from Drake.
Louisiana Lafayette.
Yeah, I don't know why that was such
sounds
a tongue.
Beautiful.
It was a tongue twister right there. But those guys are guys that are popping kind of early in practice on. This is Tuesday, so...
news and notes.
Yep, news and notes.
News and notes.
Guys to keep an eye on. Both guys would probably be late-round guys. That's kind of who you get in these East-West Shrine games. But, I mean, a lot of big-name guys in the NFL now took part in this game, so...
Yeah. Hey, anytime, any good news or good nuggets coming from either scouts or GMs, you want to kind of put to the side, you kind of want to take a little note of.
I mean, Emmanuel Sanders played in this game. Julius Thomas play. I mean, those are just guys that went to the Broncos, but off the top of my head, those are the two guys I can remember that definitely played in the game.
And then stay tuned to the end of the episode. We have a announcement about a Superflex League that you and I are starting.
Ooh.
And an opportunity for you to join us in a $100 Dynasty Superflex League, which will be popping our cherries.
Wow. Yeah, that'll be our first Superflex.
At the same time. Mm-hmm. Hold my hand.
You're right. Some of you guys could take advantage of us.
Don't hurt me. I promise it won't hurt. JTT. All right, let's get into this. Our first way too early rookie mock draft. And we flipped a coin before the show started. It was a double-headed coin, and I called heads, and I won.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. That's what happens sometimes.
Lucky me. Now, just last week, we did a mock draft, and I took Leonard Fournette 1-1 because I had the most film on Leonard Fournette. I like Leonard Fournette. I felt good about Leonard Fournette. These last couple of days, I probably spent too much time on Fournette and Cook, like way too much time. And I think I want to spend a little time here with you right now before we get into the later half of this mock draft, because the later half is going to change so much anyways. I'd like to focus on this top four as we stand, because where everything's going to change, one thing will not change, I promise you, from here on out, and that's going to be this top four. And the top four is going to be Dalvin Cook, Leonard Fournette, Corey Davis, and Mike Williams. So any way you want to take it. And I kind of put us in the category of, if you were really good at running back, like really good at running back, and you liked Mike Williams or Corey Davis a lot, and you took him 1-1, I wouldn't shoot you in the foot for it.
Would you cut off your thumb for it?
Been there, done that. So, but it's like one of those situations, like I would try to move back, because the logic is you can get those guys at either 2 or 3. So I try to move back and pick up any pick whatsoever.
If you weren't going to pick one of those guys, I would move back. I wouldn't just pick a wide receiver there.
No. But with the 1-1 in our way too early mock draft, I'm taking running back from Florida State, 213 pounds at 5'11", Dalvin Cook.
Wow.
This guy,
shocking,
is unbelievable, right? Speed, explosiveness, vision, patience, balance. His balance. Oh, my goodness, his balance.
Mm-hmm.
And even got a little bit of power. I mean, this is a guy that can cut on a dime, right? I mean, this guy is my for sure 100% guarantee of the draft going to be good. Doesn't matter where he lands, what team he's with, he is going to be good. He is a 3-down back. He catches the ball well. He could run routes, and he could run the ball really, 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 really well. I really got carried away with this tape. Like, I was supposed to watch some of the other players to get ready for the mock draft. They have a little bit more information than I wanted. And then I just kept going this debate of, like, the Leonard Fournette and Dalvin Cook debate. And I know, like, recently we talked about, even Mike had Dalvin Cook at 1. I still held firm as of last week. Like, I'm going to take a Leonard Fournette if I had 1-1. And to me now, it's not even really that close.
Anymore, huh?
No, it's not even close. I mean, he even showed me that he could run between the tackles, man. And this guy has, like, really good patience, almost like, and I'm sure everybody's going to compare it now from here going forward, like, oh, that Le'Veon Bell patience. But he really showed me some patience letting those holes develop in front of him, because he didn't really, like, here's the difference. Le'Veon Bell has a really good line, so when he shows the patience, it's because he knows that hole is going to open up. Florida State's O-line wasn't that great, and he showed patience behind that line, and when he saw that hole, I mean, he hit it, and he was gone. So he takes that time, lets the blocks develop, opens the holes. He's got a really nice, strong lower body, so he does have some power behind that legs, too. So if you don't wrap him up, I mean, you're going to be in trouble, because this guy also has a wicked stiff arm. I mean, his size is perfect for an NFL running back. Right there, right around 5'11", 213 pounds, it's great. And, I mean, when he used that stiff arm, I saw him, you know, he's just creating his own yards afterwards. It's so good. I mean, he bounces off people with that balance, right, and he just catches himself. It's like, yes, I'm good.
I'm not going to get carried away with guys like heights and weights this early, because really, this is all stuff from the school at this point. It's all fake. Yeah. So once they get to the combine and they all got to weigh in, or they get to the senior rolls and they weigh in, that's when I can really, it'll paint a picture. Everyone's there, you know, they're all on the same exact scale.
That's why when I keep my notes for like the year, right, I always leave the height and size. I always leave a spot blank next to it.
Right.
Because I always scratch it. For the most part, I scratch it out.
Right.
But even like weight, it's going to change at the combine.
Yeah, it will. I wouldn't be surprised if he popped in at like 5'10", maybe like 210. You know, like I wouldn't be surprised at all if they fudged a couple inches and a few pounds on there.
He could be 2'6". I don't care.
All right. No, I mean, that's cool. I think he's a great back. I don't disagree with anything you really said. I didn't see like a ton of power in the limited amount of tape that I watched. I didn't delve in as much as you did.
If I say power, I'm not saying power like he's like a power back running people over. Power enough where like he's not easy to bring down. And I think some of that has to do with some of his balance, like the way he can kind of take a hit, use that stiff arm, fall off of somebody, and still stay up and keep going, and still use that speed. I mean,
there's power, which is, you know, guys running other guys over. I mean, Fournette has power. That dude can just bowl dudes over.
He's a powerhouse.
Dalvin Cook, I mean, there's definitely guys that have I guess it's almost like an elusiveness where they're not taking a full blow from guys and they're able to just keep going.
Which is a great talent to survive.
It definitely is. Yeah. So, I mean, I can see what you're saying. I don't think he necessarily has a bunch of power. I think he has the second thing that I described, kind of a slipperiness to kind of not take full hits.
He's a strong lower body.
Sure.
I guess, which gives him a little bit of power. Yeah, I guess. I mean, again, I don't want to overstate the word power, I guess, like power of Grayskull power, but, you know, power.
Okay.
So 1-2, then we'll get into this.
One with the first round, second pick in the first round, I take Leonard Fournette. I mean, easy pick there. To be honest, I mean, like, I was expecting to see a little bit more out of the guy, so I don't fault you for not taking him at one. When I was watching his tape, I've seen all of the highlights, obviously everyone has. I watched a couple of games this season, like, a half of a game here and then a half of a game there that he was in.
But once you got down to draftbreakdown.com.
Yeah, exactly. It was kind of one of those things where I was like, oh, well, I kind of came away a little underwhelmed with some of his runs. If the guy doesn't have a ginormous hole to run through, I mean, if he gets ahead of steam going,
look out.
The guy's going to go 80 yards, and no one's going to be able to catch
him. That dude can punish people, man, because he's got, he's...
Right, he'll run a defensive back over, but getting through the line of scrimmage, to me, isn't like his strong point. If it's just like, he's not a guy that can get through like a little crevice and break one.
I mean, that's one of the concerns. I mean, when you talk about concerns with Fournette is, you know, LSU ran that power scheme, which usually has those designated gaps. So... that can also hurt like a running back's vision because he's just so used to the whole being there because he's dying for his run, and that can hurt him. That's a con when you talk about a guy like Leonard Fournette that doesn't have tons of cons. Like
he doesn't. Yeah, right.
When you start getting nitpicky,
I'm nitpicking, and that's exactly what I'm doing.
I think the biggest concern about him is going to be his ankle out of that test because he's just been dinged up forever.
Right.
Now he did come out recently and say though, I think as soon as this week or last week, saying, "Hey, my ankle's fine. It's been fine. I talked to my doctors about it. What happened was I just came back a little bit too early. And they said if I would just wait like another week, maybe another two, I would have been fine all year." That's fine. Danny said that, but still, it's still a concern because he's always been kind of dinged up.
Right.
But like you said, I mean, if he gets that hole, I mean, look out. I mean, this guy is just tremendous. When we talk about balance, he has great balance and he's big. I mean, he's a bigger running back. So, I mean, he's 6'1", 235. So
and he looks every inch of and pound of that.
Yeah, I mean, guy have he averaged 6.5 yards per carry. Yeah. So,
Like I said, I just came a little. I came away a little bit underwhelmed just because Leonard Fournette has been talked up for so long that I was expecting to see a little bit more on his, you know, like on a run to run basis instead of like, oh, there's an 80 yard run and then there's like these 2 or 3 yard runs that like are very underwhelming and looks like.
Maybe
he just looks like a normal guy. Like anybody could have been running that.
He falls to me into like kind of like a Adrian Peterson kind of running back where because AP has some of those suits like, you know, boom, boom, boom. All of a sudden, boom, you know, he does get that hole. He explodes out of that hole and he's just gone. He's so hard to bring. He's just big, strong, fast running back. And what I like about him, too, is like with his size. You know, sometimes you have to worry about running backs that are that big because they run upright. Fournette does not run upright at all, man. And this is a guy that
he runs behind his pads, man.
Yeah, real low behind his pads, which is really a really good quality to have for these big running backs because that does protect him for the long run. And he's not afraid of contact, so he can take that contact and keep on running. He has no problem with that. He has a really good stiff arm as well. His changes direction for his size, excellent.
Right.
Excellent. His athleticism, excellent. Speed, really good. He didn't have a lot of opportunities there in the passing game, but he did come away out of LSU with 41 catches for 526 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, he's I don't think they really use him like that. I think he could catch more balls if he needed to.
Me too. If he falls in that category, I think he could catch more balls. Here's the thing. He showed that he could pass protect at LSU too as well. When we say that, and again, you'll hear this a lot. We talk about pass protection when it comes to rookies a lot because it's huge. It determines how much you're going to get in the field. And for the most part, a rookie, if he's not coming in and being the main guy, then the most of the time he's going to come in there and be like a spell back or a third down back. And guess what? If you can't pass protect, it totally limits your opportunity out there in the field. So the reason we bring up pass protection every time is because it gives you more of the time on the field. Another thing that makes Zeke a really great back and why he's in the field every single down is because he's an excellent pass protector. And we talked about that last year. It's like the guy's tremendous. He's just as good at pass protecting as anything else he does.
Right. He prided himself.
He's all around back.
Yeah, he prided himself in that.
And I liked what I saw out of Fournette out of that, too, out of the tape. And again, he's somebody who I watched a lot of tape on already, but I want to watch even more on in depth. I think all these guys I'm going to watch. Right now I'm just trying to get a little bit of everybody.
Right.
And Fournette, obviously, you see more of just because he's a stud. And I don't think you go wrong here either. I think if you play in a standard league, it's even closer with Fournette.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
In a PPR league, to me, it's Cook, hands down. And that just becomes of that pass-catching ability. This is a guy, like Fournette, to me, Cook is a guy that's going to score you 8 points every single week, no matter what, just on his pass-catching ability alone. Like, every single week. This is a guy, I see Cook coming into, and definitely in the right situation, is a guy's going to be, he's going to fall right in that category of a top four dynasty back right out the gate. Like, we're going to be doing startup drafts. This guy's going to be going late first round, high second round of dynasty startup drafts. And Fournette, the only thing that would scare me about Fournette, too, besides his ankle, and we talked about like the whole situation, is I would hate to see like a Todd Gurley situation where he goes somewhere as high, terrible quarterback, terrible offensive line, no holes. Now, he catches the ball better than Gurley. I mean, we talked about Gurley coming to that situation. We were worried about that in the first place. So I think that helps him here, which puts him in a better position than Gurley. But I hope he doesn't fall in a situation like that where he becomes somebody that you can focus on, close up those holes, and limit that big play ability.
And that'd
be worst-case scenario.
That is the worst-case scenario because, like I said, he looks like just another running back when he doesn't have any room to run. And if your scenario played out the way you were just talking about, he wouldn't have any room if he went to a crappy team and a bad offensive line.
I want to look into it more, but because what I saw of it is when the hole wasn't there and he had to change, like he had to make a decision. Like he lost some of that momentum.
He's not like Le'Veon Bell who can kind of stop at the line
and then
explode. No, he
Dalvin Cook is like that.
Right. He almost needs to get like three steps.
Yes.
To get going.
I saw that too. It's a great thing is where he needs to get going. So he needs those first couple steps behind the line of scrimmage or the hole to become that terror that we all know. Because what I saw is when he doesn't get that, he loses a little bit of that momentum, loses a little bit of speed. And that's where that vision thing came into me. Now, that can grow. That can be helped. That can be coached. But it was like one of those concerns.
But first step quickness. I mean, you either have it or you don't, you know. And he's kind of more of a momentum guy to me.
Because that's what I'm like. For these guys like this in top four and these top guys, when I'm watching it, the first thing I'm watching for is I'm not looking for like, ooh, what does he do real sweet? I'm like, ooh, what does he do kind of like bad?
Leonard Fournette, I think, can be an amazing back if he's in the right system on the right team.
I will say this. I think Leonard Fournette's going to be a terrific fantasy running back.
Okay.
I think he's going to be. I think situation does have hold to it a little bit. And it's kind of hard to say because I thought Todd Gurley would transcend no matter where he went to. And he had a really rough, and that, again, not giving up on Todd Gurley. It was just
no,
1 year at all.
Not,
a really bad system. Everything was just bad for Todd Gurley. Like everything just is a perfect storm for him to have a terrible year.
Right.
Fournette, I think, will be at worst a running back too. You know what I mean? Like a solid running back. Like that's like worst case scenario. So like when you take a guy here at number two, you want to come away. Cause again, we talk about building dynasty franchises on young receivers. Well, there's two really good receivers behind them.
Right.
So when you think long-term effect, but again, guys like this at running back are too hard to come by to pass up here.
Well, that, I mean, that's why they're up here.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
that's why they're getting picked 1-2 in most drafts.
And it's different from, again, we talked about this before. I think we've talked about this over the couple of years too, where, and I don't know if it came up in a conversation once, where people say, well, you talk about building your franchise around young, good receivers, but then you always take these running backs really high. Well, that really boils down to is during your startup draft, you want to focus on taking young, good quality receivers. And this goes right back to the perfect scenario of why you should take young receivers in your startup draft, because you can latch on that for a long time. And then when these rookie drafts come, you can get elite talent. We just mentioned a moment ago that I did that Dalvin Cook, I believe, could be a top four fantasy running back going right into the years to come. You can get that, a top four dynasty startup right in a rookie draft.
Right.
You're not going to get that in receiver. No, I love Corey Davis. I like Mike Williams. They're not going to be top tier fantasy receivers right away. I mean,
no,
Mike Thomas was an exception to the rule for that.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of why. I mean, when you say, well, why do you take, if somebody's thinking, well, why are you taking all running backs high if you say build around young receivers? You do build around young receivers in the startup draft. And you still grab them here too when you can, but you got to be, these running backs, once you get going out of your startup draft, they're just so much harder to come
right
by.
I mean, yeah, and even if you blow up a team, you're not going to start. The first thing you get is not going to be a running back. That just doesn't make any sense. You start building with young receivers that you could have on your team for 10 years or so.
And that's why if you have the first pick in this draft and you're kind of good and you're like, you know, I do go on a Corey Davis or Mike Williams, you should trade back. Because even if you just get a second there, this draft is so much more limited at receiver than it is at running back. So you can move back a couple spots, get that top receiver, and then just focus. Then you can just draft running backs and tight ends for the rest of the draft and probably get a couple hits there as well. So that's definitely a way to go when I'm seeing early in this draft. If you do are in complete rebuild mode and you have the 1-1 because you're in complete rebuild mode, then you probably do want to slide back a hair for somebody that does want that 1-1 and get a good young receiver and some picks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so 1-3.
1-3.
Now, this is where I'm saying it now, and we'll see how it is in the long run, where I feel like I'm going to stand pat for a while, because this is where I've been for a while on him, and that's Corey Davis.
You love Corey Davis.
I do. I am a Corey Davis truther through and through. And this is going to fall into that category of Dalvin Cook and Leonard Fournette. People might say flip-flop. Even though I saw on Twitter, most people are coming to the fruition of Dalvin Cook is 1-1.
They're coming around to that, huh?
Yeah, it seems like it's pretty. I think I'm pretty sure it's consensus. Really, I might put a Twitter poll out there. What's a consensus 1-1? And I'll put it out there, and I would guarantee that Cook would come away 1-1. So, Mike Williams, Corey Davis, are you splitting hairs? Maybe a little bit. I honestly have no concerns about Corey Davis. When I say Dalvin Cook's for sure going to be good in the NFL, I feel like there's not a lot of guys I like to put a stamp on. I feel like I could put a stamp on Corey Davis. I feel he's that good.
Mm.
And not only that, like, he's somebody that we were talking about last year. I know I hope Corey Davis comes out. He didn't come out.
Right.
So this is a guy we were talking about last year.
Absolutely.
We weren't really talking about Mike Williams last year, even though he's good. We weren't talking about him.
We weren't talking about him. He was on my list of people to keep an eye on for the year.
So Corey Davis, Western Michigan, NAC school, 6'3", 213 pounds. This guy is the model of consistency. He's a guy that started off as a freshman. Freshman year, 941 yards, 13 touchdowns. All right, and that's in 2013. 2014, 1,408 yards, 1,436 yards. 2016, 1,500 yards. This is a guy for four straight seasons, had 50-plus catches and 900-plus yards for four straight seasons. And hey, he played in the MAC, right? He played in the MAC. Well, five games against the Big Ten that he played, he had 450 yards and four touchdowns. This guy is tremendous, tremendous route runner. He attacks the ball. He tracks the ball well. He's got that deceptive speed, that Josh Gordon speed where like he has those long strides. So it's like, hey, he's not that fast. Oh, there he goes.
Oh, crap, he's by me.
See ya. Have a good day.
Yep.
So everything that he does, I love. He, I feel, will be the most productive, unless like John Ross falls in that D-Jax category where he catches like mad like deep balls and touchdowns. He will be the most productive rookie receiver this year. And long term, well, if Mike Williams is going to be better long-term, can he be? Yeah, for sure. I'm not saying he can't be. But to me, the safest bet is Corey Davis. Like, to me, like, worst case for me, like, he's like a wide receiver too. Like, there's no, and there's no way it's, to me, it's impossible this guy can't be a consistent wide receiver three. Like, that's like worst case scenario for me. So, but this is like a guy who I can see making a Pro Bowl. I mean, I love him. I love him.
Yeah, there's nothing.
I'm going to get a t-shirt that says I love Corey Davis.
I'll buy it for you.
Thanks, friend.
Yeah, that's what friends are for, man. Yeah, dude, you pretty much nailed it on the head. He's the prototypical size. Same thing with my pick coming up here. Perfect size that I like in my wide receivers, right around 6'3", right around that 215 mark is where you really want him. And he goes and gets the ball. He's got no issues with his hands.
Size wise, him and Mike Williams are identical.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
So this comes down to, you think, just pick the guy you like.
I think it's pick the guy you like. I think Mike Williams has a little bit. I think he has a little bit more ability to go up and get the ball. But he also has.
He's a more physical.
He's a little
receiver.
Bit a little bit more physical, and but he also has a little bit of an issue with his hands. Not like a
little bit. It became stronger.
Not, like, I was gonna say it's nothing that concerns me. It's not like Will Fuller where it's like, oh my god,
don't touch
guy,
him.
Yeah, don't touch him.
We said don't touch. We didn't take that guy in the first round of the draft.
But here's the deal. Mike Williams, to me, has a guy that throwing him the ball that isn't the most accurate quarterback in the world.
Correct.
So location could be better on some of these throws. Maybe he catches them, maybe he doesn't. You know, maybe it's just a little bit off and he drops one, and then that's a drop on Mike Williams. So, I mean, it's to me, it's not a big enough deal to drop Mike Williams down my list at all, I guess. But
so would you take Mike Williams ahead of Corey Davis, correct?
I am leaning that way now.
I think
so yeah, 1.4, I'm taking Mike Williams.
Yeah, so
by
I
the
think,
way.
And I think the national championship game and the whole playoff run,
right,
which is gonna be the last thing people remember about Mike Williams on a national stage too. Mm-hmm. Again, Mike Williams has a national stage for 2 years in a row here, playing back to back championship games as well, where Corey Davis does not have that national stage. So I think it's easy for people to say, hey, yeah, Mike Williams. For me, I've been paying attention to Corey Davis for multiple years.
Right.
And I've been waiting for this guy to come out.
No, yeah, I've been listening to you talk about Corey Davis for years.
So, and Mike Williams, too, we got to remember, Mike Williams in, was it 15, fractured his neck.
Right.
In a home opener.
Right.
We ran into that goalpost, so he had to miss like an entire year, and that's a fractured neck. So that's a somewhat of concern. But like you said, the one thing that concerned me sometimes was just some of like the drops. And I don't know if it was just like concentration drops, because like in the big games, he shows up.
Oh, yeah.
And he's there.
Mm-hmm.
And does he, but sometimes when I think about like those concentration drops and drops like that, is that diva mentality coming to you? Like, oh, this game's not important. So how does that translate into the NFL? Like, oh, this, you know, my quarterback sucks. I'm on a crappy team. Which, if he goes to Titans, I don't think he's going to have that problem. I'd love to see him go to the Titans with Marcus Mariota and be that number one receiver. To me, that's like a huge boost for Mike Williams.
Right.
But again, I mean, he does have some of those drop issues that were kind of like somewhat concerning sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the people have got issues like that in the NFL, that it is like a concentration thing. If you don't get them the ball early enough in the game, they've run so many routes and they haven't gotten the ball thrown to. And
his hands aren't an issue.
It's a total catches. Yeah, it's a total focus thing.
Size, right. Physicality, ball skills. Mike Williams has it all.
Right.
I mean, here's the difference too. NFL personnel, they're going to tell you Mike Williams is a top 10 pick.
Right.
Right. Nobody's saying Corey Davis is a top 10 pick.
No.
This guy's a first-round pick for sure,
mm-hmm.
but nobody's saying this guy's a top 10 pick.
Right.
So NFL guys make millions of dollars. I make thousands of dollars. There's a big difference there.
There is a big difference.
In the zeros.
Yep.
I need more zeros.
Everyone needs more zeros.
We all need more zeros.
At the end of the number.
Correct. Not in the front of it.
Not in the front of it. It doesn't help.
Point zero, zero.
It doesn't help at all in the front.
Listen, I'm going to give you zero, 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 $1.
Still a dollar.
Damn. Still poor.
Uh-huh.
So that's the consensus, the top four consensus, which is in a way too early mock draft, somewhat boring because everybody knows that's a consensus.
Right.
And It's boring.
Hey, man, it is what it is.
But the thing is, like, so here's the thing. If you have pick number 5 or 6, you should be trying desperately to move up to that top four, right?
I think so, yeah. I think you're just missing that top-tier talent.
Yeah, I'd be okay with giving up my entire draft behind that and lose out some of this depth to get one of these top four talents. I think they're that good. I think these are... Now, obviously, there's going to be a couple guys after this that are going to be most likely elite fantasy dynasty prospects for a long time. But right now, these top four, and odds are probably one of these guys potentially could be a bust. But I don't see it. I think these guys are all four going to be pretty sweet going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't do that move right now. I would wait until the draft.
Do it.
Well, I mean, you might be able to do it now. I don't know.
So now we enter another tier.
Sure.
And this tier, you could drown in. Right? The other tier, Aquaman, you're okay. Now, obviously, Aquaman can't drown. So this tier, you're no longer Aquaman. You're the Titanic.
Oh, my gosh.
You found yourself in this immense, deep talent of people. And everybody's going to have their own position. Like, Paul, this guy's for sure. Everybody's going to say one of these guys is for sure going to be good. And some of them are going to be right, and they're going to be like, see, I told you. But then some of them are going to be wrong. As of today, this is, you can throw some darts on some of these guys, and they can all be an arguable pick here at number 5. Right?
Okay, sure.
So at 1-5, I'm taking John Ross, Washington receiver, 5'11", 190. This is a guy who is the rumor. It's the rumor going around town. This guy can run a 4.25.
Really?
This is the rumor.
Wow. So, I mean, he looked explosive. Don't get me wrong.
He's always the fastest guy in the field.
Right.
I mean, his career, 114 catches, 1,729 yards for 22 touchdowns. Speed, and more speed is the name of John Ross's game. And sometimes, like, players like this sometimes worry me because they're a risk. Mm-hmm. But when they can catch the ball, it lowers that risk for me a little bit. And what I saw at the tape I've seen on John Ross all the time is he can run routes. Like, he's shown that he can run some pretty solid routes. And he accelerates off his brakes really well.
He's an explosive guy on tape, man.
Yeah.
He pops off the page. Like, you could tell he's running at a different speed than everyone else.
Yeah. Vertical threat is where his game is. Mm-hmm. And the concern, so there's a couple now, but at the same time, here's my concerns. Now, there's a lot of, like, DeSean Jackson in this guy's game, right?
That's exactly who I think of when I see him, kind of.
You know, remember DeSean Jackson when he first started, this guy just ran go routes pretty much.
Right.
But he was a fantasy producer because he had that one catch for 60 yards and a touchdown, like, a lot. This is where John Ross is going to fall in. But the difference is, like, John Ross, what I've seen so far, he's a little tight in the hips. And by that, I mean, like, he has trouble, like, making guys miss. Like, his elusiveness is not in his game plan.
Right.
Like, at all. Really, from what I saw, like, he's not like Wiggler, you know.
He's got no wiggle to his game, is what you're saying. Okay.
No, not at all. I mean, he uses speed to make the guys, you know, that's what he makes it done. He uses speed to get downfield and make people miss that way. If you get your hands on him, you can bring him down. He's a smaller guy.
Yeah, I was gonna say he's a tiny guy. That makes perfect sense. That
other concerns. By John Ross. Now, you saw no concerns with this last year, but he's had two knee surgeries. One included required microfracture surgery, which could have some long-term.
No, that you know, it's not as concerning as it used to be, the microfracture surgery.
Yes.
I mean, obviously they've honed that a little bit more, and so a lot of guys are coming back from that, and it's not as big of an issue as it was. But it is definitely still a concern because any knee surgery is, I mean, that
surgeries are never good.
It reduces, you know, any player's useful life, basically.
So this spot here, I can see me taking John Ross now. I can see 2 months from now, 3 months from now, me for sure probably taking a running back here. Like, when one of these guys lands in a really good spot, it's going to be a running back at 1-5.
I completely agree with that.
So
one of those guys will raise up, and I'm not sure if it's going to be my next guy that I'm picking here at 1-6 or not, but might as well just get it out of the way and move on to Christian McCaffrey.
Guy who could have won the Heisman last year, not the year before that. Could make a case for him. I mean, 6 foot, 200 pounds. Nice. Stanford.
Big time, man. He's not a guy that I've had like a ton of time or to like dig into the tape, but I've watched the college game this year and seen some of his big plays and stuff like that. I mean, he's a guy that's a rushing attack. He's a guy you can throw the ball to out of the backfield. He's got a completeness to his game. So, he's a big time playmaker. So that's why I've got questions about his size. I'd like to see what he actually weighs in at.
Yeah, his size is a huge.
Because I mean, if the guy weighs in at 195 pounds, I mean, forget about it. He's a third down back only.
Here's the thing with Christian McCaffrey. After I watched a little bit more. He fell in the category I've watched a little bit more than at other guys so far. And somebody I was just ready. Okay, this is a guy probably first round. Somebody like the Patriots or something like that. This is a guy I'm on one of my dynasty squad. Way too early, but as of right now, I feel like I see a lot of running backs passing this guy up in dynasty value. The big thing for me is, I mean, like you said, he's got great agility. He's really good vision. Excellent, excellent hands and route running ability. Remember, his dad's Ed McCaffrey for the Broncos, NFL wide receiver. And his route running ability is tremendous. And I really want to see his 40 time, too, because, I mean, when I saw on tape, even when he got behind the line of scrimmage, he got caught by linebackers a lot. His speed, where it's not terrible, it's definitely not great by any means. And like you said, size. Like it seems like his athleticism is okay. But the physical limitations are kind of there. And like you said, it's hard for me to see this guy as an every down running back. Like he doesn't really fit in that category. But here's another pro for him. Ty Montgomery kind of fell in that category, who was a running back, got moved to receiver, and then they moved him back to running back in time of need. And Ty Montgomery's looked great.
Right.
So in a right situation, Christian McCaffrey could be great. Could he fall in that Ty Montgomery role? Where he can move out to the slot a lot and run some routes and kind of switch it up there and be a running back. I feel like Christian McCaffrey and the right team could be definitely a really solid fantasy producer, but nobody that's going to be like great.
And listen, right now there's obviously no pressure on me at all to make a correct call here.
I think this is the right pick. I think we were talking about before, like this is the right pick though.
Right. I think time will tell. And, you know, I think landing spot for this guy is going to be huge, like you said. So as of now, where he's got no landing spot, and I'm just like, hey, man, I'll take Christian McCaffrey. He does this, this, and this really good. You know, he catches balls really good. He's very elusive, blah, 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 blah. It's easy to make that pick. I'm not sure if when I was on the clock at 1.6, I'd be able to pull the trigger until I find out exactly where he went.
Yeah, again, I think there's a lot of limitations here. It's kind of a gamble pick. Yeah, I mean, again, all these. I mean, I think we're gonna find this with a lot of players that we can make of in a deep class where we have our concerns. Like the next guy I'm taking, Juju Smith-Schuster, USC. Now, again, great size, 6'2", 220 pounds, big, strong body receiver. Got the soft hands. Uses his frame to box out well. Has a really nice stiff arm. When I saw in some of the tape, he has a really good stiff arm, and. The big thing is, like, here's what worries about him, all right? So his sophomore year, he has 89 catches for 1,454 yards, right, in 2015. In 2016, he has 70 catches for 914 total yards. Huge drop-off.
Right.
Huge drop-off. Team wasn't as great, but his team, it is what, I mean, the quarterback there is going to be the first overall pick whenever it comes out.
When I was going to say, not this year.
No, 3 years from now. But the only thing I'm worried about is, and I know we talked about Juju Smith before. You said he was a USC guy, so that drops him down a notch by itself.
Name me the last one that was good. I went on a limb with Aguilar, and I feel like I've kind of gotten kicked in that.
You learned your lesson.
I've learned my lesson now.
It's like a Wisconsin running back.
Exactly.
The thing that here's where I'm at with like Juju Smith. Like he has the body, he has the size. His speed's just average, which is sometimes like I don't get over carried away with that, the speed for receivers, because as long as you can run routes and get out of your breaks and like that, you're going to be okay. It's about
getting separation.
Yeah, yeah, separation's way more important than speed. Speed allows you to get separation.
But there's other things that you can get separation using, you know, quickness and in out of breaks and stuff like that.
And Quang Bolden made a 10-plus career out of it. Right. As a solid receiver. The thing is, they would say, hey, like if Juju Smith turned out to be a complete bust at the NFL level, is I would say, yeah, you know why? It's because he used that big size and physicality in college to take advantage of other college players that couldn't stop somebody with an NFL body. Kind of like when you talk about, like, oh, this team could be an NFL team. No college team could be an NFL team just on physicality alone. And I think Juju Smith uses that physicality and with a lot of targets as well at USC for production.
Mm-hmm.
But he looked good. Like, he's a good receiver.
Yeah, no, he definitely is.
So that's right. Like, I'm really torn on Juju Smith. Like, he's somebody like I got to dig into a little bit more as well that I want to dig into more.
I feel like by the time all this is said and done, he's not going to be this high.
No, probably not.
I feel like by the time when I dig into him more and I find some other guys, from the limited stuff that I have actually looked at him, I'm not sure I see anything that's amazing. And I think there's going to be some guys that I'm like, ooh, and they slowly keep creeping up above him, and then another one creeps up above him. And then
again, I think tight ends and running backs are where the value is going to be in this draft class.
Right.
After you get past the top four, I think it's going to be a running back and tight end class. And I believe that where the hype has been building this class up so much, people that need receivers are going to be somewhat disappointed. And maybe, just maybe, if you need a receiver and that's your biggest weakness, it might be the time to possibly just start now. Like, if you need receivers and you don't have a top four pick, trying to flip those 17 picks now for quality receivers that you could possibly get. Now, like, if you can get, like, a Jarvis Landry from somebody, a Demaryius Thomas from somebody.
Sure.
You, like, using other players in this draft capital now before it becomes too much realization to get out of those picks. Because I think to receive it, if you're hurting at receiver, it's going to be hard to find that one talent. Because by the time the draft comes around, you're going to be pressed to take a running back. Because that's where the value is going to be. And right now, it's kind of hard to do this in the rookie mock draft because none of these guys, again, there's so many of them that watch tape on, and none of them had their landing spot.
Right. Nobody's got a home yet, man. So no. It's very hard to
It's like this. Kind of falls like in a receiver last year, like Leonte Carew. You know, everybody liked Leonte Carew, and he goes to Miami, and we're like, well, that's not good.
Yeah, that's you know not I mean? The best place
that, That's not the best play. That hurts you a lot. Same thing for a running back. I mean, if a running back goes to Dallas, if we like, for example, we like Deontay Foreman, right?
Right.
For example, we like Deontay Foreman. Well, if Deontay Foreman goes to Texas, Dallas, ain't nobody going to want Deontay Foreman.
Right.
This guy's going to fall to the third round of the draft. Doesn't matter how talented he is.
Right. He's right? stuck behind a stud. That's
yes.
where he's going
to
be.
So he's going to drop. And it's going to happen. So there's so many running backs, it's going to happen to some of these guys. So it's going to flip around.
Yeah, so absolutely.
So you're up.
It's a great point.
On what pick are we on? Number
Number 8. One.
I feel
eight.
Like we should pick up the pace on some of these guys now, because I will admit, on some of these guys now getting back into the end of it, I need to watch way more tape on.
I for sure need to watch some more tape. But my guy that I'm going to go with here is a running back, Alvin Kamara.
Kamara?
Kamara.
From Tennessee?
From Tennessee, yeah. I know it's probably a bit hasty here. But I like what I saw from the guy. I mean, he split time, so it's kind of there's not a ton of tape out there to really even watch, or you know, you don't see full games. But he's an explosive guy.
His name comes up when I'm doing research all the time. I mean, like his name pops up all the time. About someone's gonna be rising up the draft boards.
Well, I mean, he's a explosive guy, so I mean, I could see why his name is rising. I'm not really sure why he only got, you know, part-time. Like I said, it's still like early in the process. He was splitting time with like two other guys. So I'll have to dig a little bit more into this guy, but as of now, these are the type of guys, you know, I get intrigued by. I mean, he's going to come out and hopefully blaze something pretty fast in the 40. At least his tape looks like he will. And he's a well-built guy. He's around 215 pounds, 6 foot.
Small.
Is he small? I thought he was 6 foot.
Is he 6 foot?
I don't have
his measurement.
That's what I had in front of me. But like I said, none of these are like final measurements. 5'10".
Yeah, he's smaller. Okay. I thought he was smaller.
Yeah.
Because he falls in the category, like the things I did see on Alvin Kamara so far. Again, limited stuff I have on him. Somebody I have huge notes on today. He was actually my next running back up that I want to dig deeper on.
Mm-hmm.
But for little things I saw, I was like, okay. This is a guy who's smaller, that catches the ball well, but he's a north-south runner. You know what I mean? He's not like one of those guys like boom, he gets the ball, shoots through the hole,
he was,
and he goes.
Yeah, and he catches pass as well.
I saw some of his, he has good hands.
He has good hands.
So, and I like, again, to me, a guy who plays PPR leagues, and everything we talk about is always PPR-based. I don't think we mention that enough for our rankings when we talk about guys.
Right.
Everything we mention is always PPR-based. I know I got a question on Twitter, I think like 2 days ago, like, you guys always talk about PPR? Yes, we always talk in a rule of PPR. But guys like that, you know, that can catch the ball really well. Because, hey, let's face it, a guy who's a really solid, like, third down back, and who's one injury away from getting more carries, could be a pretty solid running back.
Right.
I mean, there's tons of running backs out there that could do that. Definitely if this guy can bulk up a little bit more, being 5'10 is not a terrible thing.
Yeah, 5'10, 215 isn't – I don't think that's a – I don't consider that like a slight build.
No.
Yeah.
No, yeah, you're right. I don't mean – yeah, so I say bulk up, whatever. But, I mean, this guy, I mean, he catches the ball well, good balance. Somebody I'm really intrigued with, and I feel like maybe by the time the draft comes around where his landing spot is, I think this might fit into where he might go.
Right.
So next pick I'm taking is a guy that I wish I could take, who I might end up taking higher down the road. And this is a guy who's going to fall into the category of tons of question marks, red flags, and it's going to come down to opportunity.
Right.
But I want to remember, same thing happened to Isaiah Crowell. Browns traded up in the third round to get Terrence West, guy who scored over like 45 touchdowns, or whatever it was. And Isaiah Crowell went undrafted. But this time of the year during that draft, Isaiah Crowell was going top five in those drafts. And I'm talking about Joe Mixon, running back, Oklahoma. 6'1", 226, super young. Guy doesn't even turn 21 until July 24th. This is a guy who's a former five-star recruit. He was reportedly given a first-round grade by the NFL Advisory Committee. Again, they based that totally on play, not outside
not
of play.
His personal.
Yeah.
Issues.
So, which is, he has a criminal issue. I mean, that Amelia Molitor girl, he punched her right in the face, broke her jaw.
I was gonna say, there's like video.
Eye socket, cheek. There's a video on it.
Of him punching.
Low blow.
I have not seen it, but I mean.
Totally don't respect the dude.
Right. Not
now,
at all.
But let's face it, guys. Let's say this too. There's no excuse for what he did. When he did it, he was 18. The video is 2 years old. He did it when he was 18. He was suspended for the year. We've all done dumb things when we were young.
Not that dumb.
Not that
okay.
dumb. No, but we've all done dumb things that we were doing.
Sure,
so
sure.
I'm never going to hold something against an 18-year-old for the rest of his life for something he did when he was 18. You know, maybe murder. Punching a woman's pretty high up there.
That's pretty bad, man.
So it's pretty bad. Like, me and this dude probably wouldn't ever be boys, you know?
I can say that with confidence.
But, and he also had an incident, too, with a parking attendant where they got a parking attendant with a female, and he took the ticket from her and ripped it up and threw it in her face. So this guy might just like have complete disrespect for women, which might come from like mommy issue. I don't know.
Whatever.
But the guy's a dick.
He's a dick. That's
so
in a nutshell.
So, but now let's get past the dickness.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Dickness. starting five games in 2016, this guy finished second nationally. Remember, okay, let me repeat it. Starting five games in 2016, he finished second nationally to McCaffrey in all-purpose yardage. He averaged 194.25 yards per game. And then, this is splitting carries with Samaj Perine.
Right.
That's per game. He had 16 touchdowns. 1,294 yards on 187 carries at 6.8 yards per attempt. The guy scored six times on plays of at least 60 yards. Most ever by a running back in Oklahoma history. And Oklahoma history has a pretty good history of running backs.
Adrian Peterson went there.
Yeah.
DeMarco Murray went there.
So,
and you know, those are just recent.
Yeah. So this guy, talent is not a question. And pedigree, he has the pedigree. When Mike's here next week, he likes to talk about guys like pedigree. Guys that are five-star high school recruits that come out and they do it. They do it in high school. They do it in college. Those are the guys that come out and do it in the pros most likely as well. He has great vision, patience, anticipation, catches the ball
he can
really
catch the
well.
Ball. He's a
runs
stud.
The ball. Really well.
He's a stud from a physical standpoint.
Showed he can get separation consistently.
Right.
The guy at a running back is a specimen. This guy, if he was not have the baggage that he has, could be one of the guys that goes at the very end of the first round, very high in the second round of the NFL draft, would easily be, he'd fall in the category most likely of not a four-man consensus top draft pick, a five-man consensus. He'd be.
You're saying he would be one of the guys that's in the top five?
For us, yes. So here I am, at pick 110 or 19, taking Joe Mixon, which is obviously, you know, but here's what I just want to keep in mind too. Like, does it change drastically? Because the college tape says what it says, where he lands. I think there's only a few spots where he can go where I'd be like, oh, well, now it sucks. And I think, like, Dallas is one of those spots. If Pittsburgh re-signs Le'Veon, that's one of those spots. Obviously, L.A. is one of those spots. You know, Arizona is one of those spots where it's like, okay, this really sucks.
Right, yeah. And I think the point you're trying to make is there's only a few – there's probably a handful of landing spots where you would think, the back there is so much – he's so established in the NFL that – Mixon's never going to get a shot, at least not for like the next 4 years or something like that. But yes, the majority of other places, Joe Mixon will go onto that team and most likely be the most physically gifted running back on the team. So it would just be a matter of him getting an opportunity.
And he falls in that category again. I can't, the Isaiah Crowell, Terrence West category. Don't be worried if the team drafts Joe Blow in round four and then takes Joe Mixon the seventh round.
Right.
It means nothing to me.
Right.
Don't be worried if team drafts Joe Blow in round four and then signs Joe Mixon in free agency. I don't think that he will go undrafted. I do not think that. He's too talented to go undrafted. And for the fact of that, too, is I would say the reason he won't go undrafted, because I think you could spin this, where, yes, the tape came out recently, but this happened over 2 years ago. He was welcomed back by the Sooners. He was welcomed back by Bob Stoops, who's a respected coach. He wasn't kicked out of college. Like, remember, Isaiah Crowell left.
Oh, he got the boot from Georgia.
Yeah, he had to go. Yeah, so he left.
Like West Alabama or somewhere weird.
Yeah, like Alabama State or
Alabama
something.
Alabama State, something, yeah.
So that's a completely different case than Mixon, you know what I mean?
Right.
So, again, to me right here, he's somebody that could easily shoot up the boards to that 1-5 spot. If the rights, like, you know, some teams like, you know what, we don't care. We're taking him the third round. Talent's too much there. He's going to be like, you're like, all right, that's a good spot. Like, he goes to, like, you know, Indianapolis in the third round. You're like, well, there you go.
Well, I mean, this is one of the guys I was talking about when I was referring to Juju Smith and saying how I'm going to probably see guys that are lower than him right now that probably show more and keep bumping Juju Smith down, basically.
Yeah, me too. And I remember when we were talking about the show altogether, I went to you and I said, hey, I was like, do you think take Joe Mixon 1-5? Because I took John Ross.
Right.
And I wanted to take Joe Mixon there. And you're like, yeah, it's probably too high at this point. And I was like, yeah, you're right. You know, I mean, to be fair to the process, it's probably safe to say, all right, let me go like John Ross here in the process. But I would have no problem taking Joe Mixon at number 5. But doing that isn't fair to the process, because you're also saying it's easy to say that now because there's nothing on the line.
Right.
There's, if you actually had to do an actual draft right now, let's say your draft was before the NFL draft, you just went strictly on college scouting yourself, and maybe that's why you're listening to the show, then that's a huge risk to take. So,
right, because the guy might not ever get drafted.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, at 1-9, it could be a huge risk. But right here, it's like, okay, I can't go any farther. I gotta give me some Mixon.
Right.
So, all right, well, that's my woman beater comment for now. Moving on,
yeah. How do I follow that up? 110, I'm going to go O.J. Howard.
O.J.? You go from a woman beater to a murderer? I see how you're playing this game.
I saw that coming, which is funny. About a half second before you said it, I was like, oh, crap, I'm going O.J. right now.
I'm going totally O.J.
Oh, man, he's innocent.
I haven't gone. No, he's not.
This one is.
Oh, this guy, totally innocent.
This one is innocent.
Yeah, I mean, I have not. Doug, like, I'm waiting. Like, it's kind of like when you have, like, your favorite food and you want to save the best bite for last.
You do love tight ends, man.
I'm waiting on the tight end. Like, okay. I'm doing all my receivers and running backs first, because I'm on the limited time I have on these tight ends.
Sure.
I love so much about, like, so, like, again, the more I get into this, like, Nyoku kid from Miami, it's like, well, this guy's going to be pretty sweet.
Well, I'm sure if we get, Dynasty Nerd Mike on, he will have a lot to say about that guy.
We're going to let him break it down.
Sure.
You're taking O.J. Howard.
I'm taking O.J. Howard. He's, you know, he's a complete tight end. He can block. He can catch passes. He's ultra-talented dude. And
he's 6'5", 245.
Yeah.
Runs like a 4.5 40.
Right. So I'm going, he's got no issues with his hands or blocking or anything. He's well-rounded, you know.
Well, he measures in at 6'5". I bet he measures in, like, just under 6'6".
Yeah, he's a big dude. And coming, just a great program. You know, he learned all the fundamentals and stuff like that from Saban. So,
one of my all-time favorite tight ends in the world played at Alabama.
Which one is that?
Ozzie Newsome.
Ozzie.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, the guy blocks well.
Mm-hmm.
He's got tremendous speed, body control. He's like a receiver out there.
Right.
But he blocks well too, so it's kind of like you don't even need him to run all the time because he's gonna be on the field all the time.
Well, the reason I mentioned that, and you know, some people are like, "Who cares? This fantasy." It keeps him on the field, and that's why you want a tight end. You want a guy that's a receiving threat that can actually block a little bit as well.
Yes.
And he can.
He's at, like, you know, the new age guy. Right. He is Jordan Reed. Right. He's Jimmy Graham.
Right.
He is good.
Yep.
He is really good.
I agree.
And again, this is a guy who's likely probably going to go in the first round. And what's to say, like, O.J. Howard goes to the New York Giants, right?
Sure, man.
Eli likes the tight end.
Love the tight end. They've got a great tight end coach there that coaches them really well. So, I mean, that would be a great spot for him.
Yeah, you have Sterling Shepard and Odell Beckham, and all of a sudden you put in O.J. Howard there. Who's to say he's like, I'm going to say it right now. If that's the case, I would take him over every receiver we just said.
Yeah, right. That, perfect point for Juju Smith sliding down the draft board even further. Is you know, if this guy lands in a perfect spot.
And it's weird, and I don't know why when you see it, like, I see tons of people doing these rookie mock drafts. Obviously, we're going to be running those on DynastyNerds.com, too. I know I mentioned last week, at Dynasty_Justin. There's new ADP guy.
Right.
If you have Twitter, please follow him. He's going to be doing all our mock drafts. We're going to start doing our rookie mock drafts as well. But when I see these rock drafts, like, nobody's really taking a tight end. And, like, it always bothers me because if you take a tight end, people are like, oh, that's too high for a tight end. Like, says who? Like, how many times for years I've been on this podcast saying tight end is such an important position to have on your fantasy team?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Though, I mean, if you get an impact guy, it makes your road to the playoffs so much easier.
A million times easier. I mean, that's why Gronk is so valuable. Like,
right.
To have a guy like Jordan Reed, Jimmy Graham, Travis Kelce, Rob Gronkowski, because the tier is so limited.
Right.
They have a guy that could put up wide receiver one numbers at a tight end spot, gives you such an edge over your opponents.
Right.
They have that tight end. It's such an important spot. And again, that's why we were pushing Hunter Henry last year and why I think Hunter Henry is going to be so good. And I'm just excited to see where maybe we're going to see a change a little bit. And maybe this kind of like waters down that theory a little bit because maybe there's so many good tight ends coming in.
And everyone's going to have one soon is what you're saying?
Maybe it does. I mean, yeah. Now obviously not all these guys should be good, but maybe that happens. Maybe it does. Right now it's watered down. Like almost where the quarterback's position's like less valued, the tight end value to me is like you have to overpay a little bit because it's such a hard get back on a return. But again, this position takes a couple of years to usually translate over.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So guys like that, I mean, we don't know where they're going to be, but you got, you know, Jimmy Graham in 3 years is going to be that valuable. Oh, Greg Olsen probably out of the league. Delaney Walker's going to take a hit as well. But you still have Rob Gronkowski. You got Jordan Reed. Those guys got injury concerns, concussion concerns. Eric Ebron, we'll see if he can take another step next year as well. Hunter Henry is a terrific prospect. But maybe this class that we had, that Rob Gronkowski class, that Rob Gronkowski class, remember that Gronkowski class of tight ends wasn't even the number one tight end off the board was Jermaine Gresham,
right?
Who was the first round pick.
You remember that because you took him.
Pipe down over there. I did take him in the first round of my draft.
Yes, you did.
Because I love the tight end.
Love.
Keep doing them squats. So to me, it's like you have this, again, I mentioned those guys like O.J. Howard, Nyoku, Leggett, Jake Butt tore his ACL. But, you know, somebody's going to get really good value in Jake Butt because he tore his ACL.
Right.
There's so many good tight ends, and I'm missing some.
There's definitely like a few you're missing. And
yeah.
I can't think of them right off the top of my
head.
So
right now. I love the pick here at 110, O.J. Howard. And again, there's nothing wrong when you're talking about something like when you get to a question mark spot against somebody who's number one in their position.
Exactly.
Definitely a position of need. Even if you have a tight end, tight ends have good trade value. You can get good return. I mean, just imagine what can you get for Travis Kelce or Jordan Reed right now, or Gronkowski. Heat. Heaters.
Yeah, total heat.
Heat. Because everybody needs a tight end.
Yeah.
Even if you have a tight end, look at those guys I just mentioned, right? Besides Kelce right now with those injuries. Jordan Reed, concussion worries. Gronkowski, injuries worries. So even if you have an elite tight end, you need another one. Because then you're even better off, you know, week in, week out with those injuries. You don't even have to worry about anything. Because a lot of times people people will do that. They'll say, oh, I have Gronkowski or I have Reed on the draft tight end. The hell you don't.
I know, man. I just got Hunter Henry this past year, and then I, you know, went out and get Jimmy Graham. And in my other league, I had Jimmy Graham, and I took Hunter Henry in the first round. So it's,
I've been saying a lot on Twitter, like, people are like, where should I focus on the second round of my picks? I've been saying tight end all over the place.
Right.
Like, tight end. Because the value is going to be there.
Yep, I agree.
All right, let's go move on here a little bit since we're past the hour mark, which is our normal get-down stop spot. We could go through these. I mean, I feel like we don't have enough to say on these guys anyways, but right now, of everything I've seen on a limited basis, Deontay Foreman, running back, Texas, is where I'd probably go right here, right now. I feel like he's going to get drafted high enough where I'm going to like him.
Yeah, he's a big, strong guy. I mean, didn't he lead the nation in rushing yards?
He's a huge running back.
I mean, he was over 2,000 yards this year.
Yeah, I mean, he's just a really good, I mean, for what he did there in Texas. But he's, right. I mean, again, he's just somebody that fits the bill of just being a really big, strong running back. He's 6'1", 249 pounds.
Right.
So, and this is a guy right now that's being projected to go anywhere from the late second to early third round, which is that's starter material right there. Landing spot is huge.
Landing
I got more tape to walk in, watching to him. But everything I've seen so right now, he seems like a pretty safe pick. Where if I'm in the back end of the first round, I think Deontay Foreman is a good way to go.
I totally agree. With the 1.12 pick, I'm going to take Curtis Samuel. Just, I mean, obviously, you and I are both big Buckeye fans, so we've seen a ton of the tape on this guy.
Like Percy Harvin-esque.
Yeah, he's very Percy Harvin-esque. He's almost... it's going to be hard to see exactly what position he ends up playing. I can't tell you if it's going to be wide receiver quite yet. He might be one of these new age, you know, running backs that splits out an awful lot, but you know, spends some time in the backfield as well, kind of like a gadget type of guy.
I think he's going to be a third. I think if he gets listed as running back, he's going to be a third down back no matter what. But he's going to be some of those guys, even though he's a third down back, I think he's going to get some field time.
At wide receiver. Right, that's what I mean. Like, I think he's going to be...
He's a dynamic athlete.
Right, they're going to bring him in the game and try to fool the defense, basically, into not knowing what personnel group to bring into the game. You know, maybe they'll play him as a running back, and then they'll flex him out, and he'll run a route as a wide receiver. He's going to be one of those type of guys. That's
really interested to see where he lands. It's a big thing for me. Like, again, if he falls in that category of he goes to New England, and he could be used by the genius of Bill Belichick, then I would love him there. I would love him in that role out there. You know, somebody that could really utilize that talent. Again, kind of like in that Green Bay kind of scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Even if he gets drafted into a team like Indianapolis, something along those lines.
Get him on that turf in the
dome. If he could find his way to New Orleans in a way that Sean Payton uses that third down running back, how he utilized Darren Sproles there in New Orleans. I would love to see him utilized in that aspect. Like, Darren Sproles is like, yes, for him. You know, somebody can slide out there. And I like that. So, to me, the athleticism, the playmaking ability here, good value here in the first round. Definitely at the end of the first round.
Right. I agree.
So that's our top 12. Let me go through that real quick again. With 1-1, Dalvin Cook. 1-2, Leonard Fournette. 1-3, Corey Davis. 1-4, Mike Williams. 1-5, John Ross. 1-6, Christian McCaffrey. 1-7, Juju Smith-Schuster. 1-8, Alvin Kamara. 1-9, Joe Mixon. 1-10, O.J. Howard. 1-11, Deontay Foreman. 1-12, Curtis Samuel. In our way too early mock draft.
Way, way too early.
So take that with a grain of salt, but don't take it with a grain of salt as well. Take it with remembrance. Remember this podcast and maybe even reference back to it, you know, a couple months from now and say, okay, what changed? Right. What did these guys say about these guys that they liked enough way early in the process to say, hey, I'm taking these guys in the first round to maybe find value in the later rounds? Because sometimes when we dig deeper and we find more stuff out, we go from liking somebody to not liking somebody. From not liking somebody to like somebody. It happened with Brandon Cooks a couple years ago for me. Like, I was like, I'm kind of like okay on Brandon Cooks. And I'm like, after a while, I'm like, oh, I love Brandon Cooks. And then landing spot really flipped a switch on me.
Sure.
Nelson Aguilar, somebody I didn't really like as much going into it, and I watched more tape, and I liked it. I liked it even more, and now it's kind of like, okay, now I understand. It doesn't surprise me where he is now because it's some of the stuff I didn't like originally about him. Happens all the time.
It does happen, man.
So that's it, the way too early mock draft. Again, if you stuck around, let's talk about our Superflex League.
Ooh.
So Matt and I know we mentioned this last year. And I've been thinking about it since then. I don't know if Matt forgot. I was like, Matt,
I completely forgot about it.
I was like, Matt, next year we need to start a super flex league. Like, I've never done one. It sounds awesome. I love Dynasty Fantasy Football. So we've decided, and I asked him before we did the podcast, I was like, hey, do you still want to do that? And he said, yes. And I was like, yes.
Score. Whoa.
Score.
Easy.
So we are going to start a new Dynasty Nerds Super Flex Dynasty League. The buy-in is going to be $100 annually. Now, I put this on Twitter, and of course, I got tons of responses. Yes. Tons of people want to be in this league. I'm sure I mentioned on the podcast. I even got emails from people saying, hey, I heard you tweet out that Superflex League. Can I get in? and the first couple of people that wrote down were like, hey, I was like, I'm put a couple of notes. It was like the first like three people. You know, I'm like, sure. Oh, there's some interest. Cool. You know what I mean? And then like it just blew up. I'm like, oh, this is more than 10 people.
Right.
So, and now those guys at first at like asked, like, I'll put those notes on. And some of the people that asked already in like the Nerd Herd League, which is a podcast league, the Podcast Listener League, which is obviously a podcast league.
Obviously.
So if you're in those leagues, that is going to kind of give you a bump down. Sorry, we're in a league together. And there's no listener league that you and I are both in together.
I'm not in any listener league.
So this is a very unique opportunity to be in a league with Matt and I, the host of the podcast.
Oh, my gosh.
And forever. This is not a league that's like, it's a dynasty league. So we're talking about committing ourselves to you for forever.
Wow.
It's a long time.
Get down on that knee.
Yeah, we'll have like message boards in the league talking about like, oh, dude, my kid just did this. Oh, my kid graduated. Like, oh, I remember on the podcast 18 years ago when that little turd was born. So what we did want to mention is one of the ways we want to do, we're going to come up with maybe possible other ways to join this league. One thing I want to say before we do this, like all the dynasty leagues I start is, if you join, make sure you want to join for the long haul. We're only looking for committed owners here. We don't like filling spots. Even though if we have to fill a spot, we're lucky with our Twitter access and the community that we do surround ourselves with it. We can fill a spot pretty easily.
Sure.
No matter how bad the team is.
Right. But you don't want to like a rotating team.
No,
you know,
we don't want to do that.
Right.
So know that the league's going to be $100 every single year with a payout of 60, 30, 10% every single year. That's the payout. And it's going to be a super flex league. If you don't even know what a super flex league is, you can still play.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, we know what it is. We've just never done it. It's where you can start two QB quarterbacks at the flex spot. But we wanted to do something special. The first thing we thought of was for the Nerd Herd. But not just like anybody that joined. Now, we love everybody in the Nerd Herd. Don't get me wrong. If you donate $1, it qualifies you to win awesome stuff. Like Dave did last week. He won a shirt.
Sure.
Every month we give away a prize
mm-hmm.
for joining the Nerd Herd. All it takes is to donate $1 a month. That's it. If you donate a one-time fund, which a lot of people did, $12 qualifies you for the whole year. But there's people that donate even more than that. And those people hold a special place in my heart.
They are amazing.
So this is what we're going to do for somebody to join the Flex League. And you might say, hey, this is just a spin for you to get more money. Well, we got writers to pay. So maybe it is. But if you donate $25 to the Nerd Herd, it does two things. One, it qualifies you for 2 years to win a prize, right?
Bingo.
12 months in a year. $1 a month, that's 2 years, you're qualified. So no matter what, if you don't even win the grand prize, you're qualified for 2 years to win a shirt or any other giveaway we give. But it also qualifies you for a spot in the Superflex League. Now, this isn't just buying your way in. It qualifies you for a spot in the Superflex League for $25. We will pick up the tab for the other $75, Matt and I.
So yeah, you don't have to pay anything other than the donation.
Yes.
Right, gotcha.
Now, the one caveat I will say to that, though, is if you do get picked, you have to pay your $100 for the following year. Only because I want you to join because you only got it for $25 and then bounce out.
Okay.
But it's an option. So if you already donated $25 or more to the Nerd Herd, which some people have, you're qualified. And if you win and you don't want to be in it, say, hey, man, no, I just donated because I don't want to play Superflex League. I don't want to play in it. We'll go to the next guy. But from here until the league starts, if you donate $25 to the Nerd Herd, you will get a chance to be in the league with us forever. And the first year is on us.
There you go.
That's pretty good.
And we're not going to do that draft, you said, until after the NFL draft.
Yes, and we're not even starting. So before you guys get crazy on us with all these tweets, everything about joining the league, we're not even going to do the league until after the NFL draft. Because it's going to be a 30-man roster, no kickers, no defenses, okay?
I can't wait.
So without the new rookie influx, that draft is going to be terrible because in the 29th round, I don't want anything to do with Aaron Murray.
True statement.
So, and again, if you don't want to, if you don't have $25, which I completely understand, or you feel like it's just too much to try and contribute to us because we're not that awesome, that's fine. But if you can contribute at least $1 to the Nerd Herd, again, it all goes back to the website, goes back to our writers, and goes back to this podcast itself. And this stuff costs money to the host. So we do tremendously appreciate it.
Indeed.
And again, at the beginning of this next month, we'll give away another prize. Maybe a Nerd Herd, maybe a Dynasty Nerd shirt, maybe something else.
Maybe something else.
We don't know. We'll give you the options.
You never know.
I told Matt one of the options to me down the road is maybe I'll do a redraft with somebody on the phone. That'd be like one of the prizes.
I said, go for it.
Man. Yeah, you're like, hell no. And then once you said hell no, I was like, you're right, that's like 4 hours. I might do like the first like 10 rounds with somebody. That's it. But we always support everybody that's a part of the Nerd Herd. We love every single one of you. It helps the site keep on keeping on. That's how we're able to keep everything free and our goal to keep things for free forever. Another way to support the site for free, as always, if you get on iTunes, we all know some of you guys have iPhones out there. Click on your podcast that you listen to us through. Click on leave a review.
Ooh.
Just click the star amount.
Make
and
Rich's
write a review.
Day.
I look
People,
every day.
He looks every day.
Well, I said it the other day. I was like, we're at 239. So my OCD needs to do 240. Two people left a review right away.
Nice.
Like, yes. Now I'm at 241. I'm like, now I need to get 250.
Now I need to get nine
now like,
more.
So, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, now nine more? 250 reviews? That's a quarter of a million. That's a quarter of a thousand.
That's a quarter of a million.
Yeah. And yeah. I mean, there's thousands of you listening. So, I mean, a couple of you take your time and leave a review. You'll make my day. Yes, like I said, when I was in the hospital, I went through and read every single review. And I smiled gleefully. The nurse came and she's like, what are you smiling about? Like, they like me.
They really like me. I hated that tip of my thumb, and I'm so glad to get rid of it.
And, of course, if you also want to support the site financially and increase your wardrobe, you can always buy a Dynasty Nerds shirt on the website as well. Guaranteed to increase your high five intake. Nothing is going to say that you know your rookies more than the rest of your league mates and then walk into that rookie draft with a Dynasty Nerds t-shirt. I can promise you.
You want to strike fear into your opponents.
Yeah.
You come in that shirt.
You walk into rookie draft and you're like, put dynastynerds.com.
Oh.
What have you begun yourself into, Rupert?
Exactly.
And you're like, you're about to find out, nerd.
There's a thing called owning the room, and that's what that shirt will allow you to do.
After 2 years, you're like, wow, you killed that 2017 rookie draft. How'd you do it?
Booyah.
Why is your hand so swollen? Well, son, it's all the high fives in dynastynerds.com. So, of course, make sure you get to DynastyNerds.com every single day. We have articles coming out left and right about rookie scouting reports, strategy, rankings, everything you possibly need to dominate your Dynasty League. And, of course, ADP will be up. January ADP is coming soon.
Coming soon, guys.
Coming soon. And follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at Dynasty Rich.
I'm at Dynasty Matt.
And until then, we'll see you next week with possibly a special guest that goes by the name of
Dynasty Nerd Mike?
At Dynasty Nerd Mike.
Ooh.
And all you old school listeners right now are probably like, yes, finally.
We've been waiting.
Finally. Unless this nerd, like, something happened. Oh, my dog.
I know. Sick. Watch. Yeah. We've been pumping it up so much. He's not going
to
be here.
Well, now we're going to, I told Matt we're going to do a group text after this to figure out, hammer out a time and date for him to get on there. And I'm like, dude, too late. We already announced on the podcast. You're coming on. Dude, I got like a million tweets saying they're excited. So, yeah, tweet. Hey, Everybody tweet at Dynasty and Mike saying, dude, I'm so excited for you to be on the show. I've missed you.
Yes.
Because then maybe you'll get more than one show out of them.
Yes.
So, yes, if you love Mike, and if you don't, and you just like the podcast, tweet at Dynasty and Mike and just totally inundate his timeline with love. All right? So we'll see you guys next week with our special guest, hopefully.
Hasta la pasta.
I love the Hurricanes.
Ready, set, put on.
Thanks for listening to the Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast. Make sure to check us out at DynastyNerds.com for up-to-date Dynasty insight. And follow us on Twitter at Dynasty Nerds.